All right, this is episode 2 of Strong Booking Podcast, and I'm going to let Jason take over for a second.
All right, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. It's our second episode. We're hoping it's going to be a good one. Actually, at this point, I'm pretty excited this week. We got a lot of feedback, positive feedback, on what we're doing right now. Wrestling is something that all three of us have a passion for, and we know there's a lot of people out there in Eastern Kentucky and actually just across the state and across the world that are really into wrestling. We're just trying to give our point of view, talk about what we like, you know, stuff we like to see and everything of that nature. But, you know, being our second episode, I'm actually super thrilled that we were able to find a special guest to actually come on this week. And, you know, with us today, we have, you know, the reigning, defending BCW heavyweight champion, Adam the Human Horror Movie Newsome, all the way from the Newsome Slaughterhouse, is live with us right now. And we're going to bring him in right now and let him see what he has to say.
Yeah. He's got an upcoming match this week, Saturday.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
Wow. I am here at Pig in a Poke, my personal favorite restaurant, with some of my closest compadres. You want me to tell you why they're my closest compadres? Because they have been buying meat from the Newsome Family Slaughterhouse now for, how long has it been?
Yeah, about 10 years now.
10 years. So when they asked me to come on here, it just went hand in hand. So thank you guys for having me on. And this is an absolute blast. Love what you guys are doing. Can't wait to talk turkey with you jokers and shoot the spit. So let's do it.
Let's go.
Yep.
All righty. Sounds good.
Yep.
Since we got Adam on here, first just want to ask him a few questions. You know, what got you into wrestling?
Man.
When did you start?
Let's put this up here with these killer fantasy football.
Yeah, by the way, these are my fantasy football belts. And two-time champ.
They done a great job, man. Them are awesome. So, what got me into wrestling, man, when I was a small kid, my earliest recollections was Great Muta, probably. The first, I mean, I was probably 4, and the Great Muta grabbed my attention at a young age. I can remember being at the house and, you know, just having 13 channels on my TV, and one of them was TBS, so I got to watch the NWA with all the national flags around on the studio. Remember how they used to the Crockett studio?
Yeah.
So I can remember the Midnight Express music, and then I can remember the Horsemen coming out and Muta, and that was what I grew up on. Most kids was, you know, they liked the cartoon characters of WWF at the time. I was pro Jim Crockett. Then I got up and I started loving Rick Rude, and Rude was, you know, that's my influence, Rick Rude and Brian Pillman. So that's what got me into wrestling as a fan and got me into the business. When I was, you know, as y'all know, I fought MMA and Tough Man when I was in my 20s. And after, you know, I had a couple injuries, I tore my bicep, dislocated my shoulder a couple times. I knew that, you know, Father Time was kind of, the window was closing on that. So I wanted to stay competitive and stay in shape because it's something, you know, growing up, I looked up to guys like Schwarzenegger, Stallone, those guys that were in their 50s, 60s, and you couldn't tell, you know, whether it's 20 or 30 with their bodies. So I always wanted to stay in shape and competitive. And, Ken Cottrell, BCW owner and booker, and he had BCW, and I grew up seeing the posters everywhere around locally, and I mean, I laid on my couch, man, for like 3 days thinking, should I do this or not? You know, should I really do this? Can I do this? And then finally, you know, I drove down, I got Ken's contact, and I drove down and talked a little bit with him and got the license paper to send in, went and got my physical and everything, and then that's how I got in, man. Just Ken Cottrell, talking with him, and he led me in the right direction.
That's great. I follow on Facebook. I see your matches week by week, places you go. I love seeing wrestling in this local area.
Oh, man.
And you are always putting on shows from Wheelwright, Martin, you know, you're always at the Paintsville Rec Center. I know that's kind of like
our home turf.
That's your home turf right there. I mean, everybody knows those things. When BCW pops up.
Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue is our Great American Bash, I always say. That's our version.
I mean, it's just seeing, like, local guys that are that big into wrestling, like me personally, I'm like, a lot of people used to make fun of me for being such a big wrestling fan. Like, why do you like?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why not?
Right.
And I'm just saying, you know, seeing people that I know are from this area enjoy it that much and want to do it on their own, you know, it's something you like to see. And, like, personally, you know, it's something I'd always love to get into and never did. But, you
it's
know,
never
seeing,
too late, man. Never, you know, too late. Trust me at that. I'm 30. I just turned 35. I got in when I turned 30. It's never too late.
If you have a belt versus belt match?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. We got Can we do
a triple threat?
Throw them all three on a hook. Y'all got a meat hook. Y'all better because I loaned you all a couple back.
We'll put them on a meat hook.
You know,
meat hook match.
You know, like I'm saying, is like, you know, just seeing that personally. Well, I'm 33. I'm getting ready to turn 34,
oh,
so I'm not too far behind you. You know, but you've been doing this a little longer than I have.
Don't
you
matter,
know?
Man. I'm telling you. I always tell everybody because a lot of guys, you know, people laughed at us. But really, a lot of people's like, man, I'd like to do that. Just ain't got the nerve to really go for it.
Yeah.
Once you go for it, once you get your feet in there, it's unlike any – I mean, with me anyways, I'm going to speak for myself. I was constantly, even before I got in the business, on a trampoline with a pillow. I was working a character, which would become the ticking time bomb, what I started out with. Yeah. But I was working that when I was from 8 years old to the time I was probably 14, way too old to be jumping on a trampoline with a pillow. But I was working that character. Because I always said, if I got into the business, this is the way I would be, you know. And it was like a spin of, it was like a take of Brian Pillman, the Loose Cannon character, throw in a dash of Tully Blanchard, that heel could get heat like that, Ravishing Rick Rude, legitimately tough, I could take your woman and smack you around if I want to. And then, you know, Scott Hall, a little bit of that machismo, so you throw that in there, shake it up, boom, Adam Newsom rolls out.
That's awesome, man.
That's good.
Now, you bringing up the trampoline thing, though. It's like when I used to have a trampoline growing up, and, you know, I'd always jump up to the kip up, smack my leg, make that good smack.
Well, even when we were, like, we were in high school, we'd go over his house and wrestle on his trampoline.
Oh, there was nothing like it. Hey, listen, when I was in high school, grade school, that's what we did Friday night. My best friend had a basement. We had old mattresses, and we'd pull them out there, have our music. We'd have a – We take hairspray, spray it with some lighter, and give us some pyro. We had matches all night, man. So that was some of my best memories ever.
You bringing that up? Me, actually, one of my good buddies, he lives right next door to me. Actually, right next, like, I live in the bottom right here where we're at. But, like, one of our friends had a birthday party one year, and it was a wrestling themed birthday party. And we went up to his house and we dug trenches in the hillside. Put some, you know, thin plywood over it. Had buried alive matches.
Oh man, that's.
But everybody
that's what
dressed
I never
up like
of.
Everybody dressed up as their character at the time, you know. And his mom went and made him a legit Kane outfit. I mean, it was down to the T. Kane, you know, I was Val Venus.
We need to. Oh, love Val Venus, dude.
So I was Val Venus, but we had Stone Cold. We had a guy come out there in the jorts and the Stone Cold shirt, you know. But we had our own. We put our own little wrestling show in a backyard, you know, no ring or anything. But we were just having like hardcore matches.
Shout out to the mom that made the Kane costume for the kid.
Yep.
How many is going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, she's right next door. Her name's Ann McGuire. If Jared McGuire is tuning in, you know your mom's a legend.
Great mother.
She made him a Sub-Zero costume one year for Halloween. I mean, she was
get a hold of her.
Yeah, she was down for it.
She's gonna be her costume maker.
There you go.
So, how long have you been champion?
I've been three times the BCW heavyweight champion. Yeah, first time I won it was at Genocide. That's one of our four. That's my Halloween Havoc. I'm Genocide, you know. So I'm Mr. Genocide, like Michael Jameson, the icon, the guy, you know, the flag, the man that carries the torch for this company. He's Mr. Remedy, which is our WrestleMania. So Genocide, it was me and Judas Kane. He's a big dude. Makes you think of Big Van Vader, very agile, probably – 350, I mean, can really move, and it was a tough match, man. I bumped hard for that cat, and he bumped hard too, but that was when I won the big one, they say. But I started out, I won the tag titles with Duke Allstriker when we was WTF, Women Titles and Fame. It was kind of it was almost like a NWO meets DX kind of deal, and it really, we started out as heels, man, and it got so over, and me and Michael Jameson carried that on. We just kept going, and we started having fun, and it was kind of, you know, just me and him. It wasn't like two characters. So it started getting over, and the fans wouldn't let us be heels. They wouldn't. We were, which I was a nasty dude. I mean, I was doing anything. I was getting garbage out of stuff at Wheelwright Eating, and if anybody knows anything about that place.
Yeah.
So I would go up, if somebody was drinking pop, I'd grab their pop and take a drink of it. You know, that. I was doing anything. It didn't matter if there's seven people in the stands, if there's 77. If those people paid that money to come watch us, I was going to give them.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of people out there that bring their kids to this, you know, and we're something to them. I mean, we make it very, it's very affordable to come to our shows. And we want to give, I want to give them the best experience they can have with their kids, because my dad took me to Smoky Mountain Wrestling at the old Pipeville College gym, and that meant a lot to me, because I knew he was a boxing man. He loved boxing. Every Tuesday night, I would go with him up to my great uncle's, and we watched Tuesday night fights. So if Jim Cornette and Smoky Mountain Wrestling came around, which was a big deal as a kid, because there was no expo center.
Yeah.
WCW made an appearance or two up there, but Jim Cornette brought Smoky Mountain Wrestling up to Pipeville College. So anytime my dad, it always hung with me, because I knew he didn't like wrestling, but he always took me. So when I look out in the crowd and I see parents with their kids, that means a lot to me. I want to give them something that, you know, when they get older, they'll say, man, my dad took me down to Paintsville and I got to watch Adam Newsome do a backflip, or, you know, something like that. Just, it means something to me.
I think they need to, you know, parents need to get their kids yes. to see these events.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
so fun.
Oh, man. We've had rave reviews. That's something about Ken Cottrell, too, because he makes the prices for these shows very affordable, you know.
Yeah.
And if I know somebody wants to come, if I know somebody's like, man, I want to go, I'll do like a, like before a show tonight, I'll do like a Q&A or some kind of question, and I'll put their names in a hat, shake it up, and they'll be my but they'll be my guest for the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I'll get them in the ring and do what I call a, what was I calling it? Photo op. Like at a horror convention.
Yeah.
You know how that?
Yeah.
And I would dress up my suit, get them in the ring, get them the hammer, the chainsaw, the Freddy glove, whatever I had. And I'd, you know, for free, get them in the ring, take a picture, and give them an autographed picture. And that was my deal.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's nice.
I
just wanted to say, you can go to the YouTube and search Bluegrass Championship Wrestling. There's a lot of matches on there. I've watched a few of them.
Yeah.
Quite a few good matches. Highly enjoyed them.
Yeah.
We did a show. One of the shows I'm most proudest of, and I'd say Ken and Lisa and the gang would, and Michael Jameson would probably be one of the most proud of for me, was we had a little girl get killed in a car wreck that went to John M. Stumbo. And I was pretty good friends with her dad growing up. So I felt really bad for them. Michael Jameis and myself and Ken and everybody got together, and we wanted to do a fundraiser for them to try to get her a headstone or whatever we could do. So the superintendent in Floyd County was cool with giving us John M. Stumbo, which that was my home turf. Man, it felt real. I mean, I always, when I was a kid, we always talked about having a wrestling ring at John M. and doing shows. Yeah. So we really got to do that. And me and Michael Jameson, I was the low man on this. I don't even compare to the three guys in the ring with me. It was Michael Jameson, John Noble, and Eddie Browning. It was me and Michael against those two.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about, I was probably 3 or 4 years into the business, and those guys have a lot of years on me. But being in there and watching them and learning on the job, training from these guys, and we killed it. If you get a chance, WTF against something else, check that out. Man, we blew the roof off.
Yeah. I mean, you was talking about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I know you were just talking about that. This week that you went up there.
About Smoky Mountain.
No, I mean, I'm talking about going to Pikeville and watching them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking about that.
Yeah,
you talk about that pop all the time.
I've seen them at Pikeville. They come to Paintsville for Apple Days and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good shows. Great shows.
Oh, it was, man. Because I think I was up there and it was Arn Anderson made an appearance. And I had, you know, there was no internet. I was 9 years old, 10 years old at the time. So when I got up there, who you seen was who was there, because I had no idea. And it was, I want to say it was Rock and Roll Express with Arn Anderson. I think it was a three-way tag team match. It was crazy. They had commode lids. I mean, it was wild.
Was that the Night of Legends show they called it?
No, I don't think it was Night of Legends. Now, Kevin Sullivan was there, I think, with the Night Stalker that night also. Tim Horner was there. Brian Logan. I think there was a couple other guys. And we had, just like I said, man, my dad, and it was just good memories.
Well, appreciate you being on the show.
No problem.
We're going to get started here with some talk about WWE. What's your thoughts on it?
Right now, man, with WWE, I've gravitated more towards AEW at the moment.
Yeah,
but my son's going.
That's where we're at right now.
Just something different. With me right now, I'm not going to speak ill of WWE, but with me, where I'm at my life and the way my mind is, I kind of go towards the old WCW feel. I like the old WCW
feel. That's where I grew up.
Me too.
It was WCW, and that's where I...
The thing that, with, in my opinion, what WWE has struggled with as of recent is all the... There's no characters, hardly. They all look like just college kids. There's no characters. And I know back, you know, in the early 90s, people laughed at Vince for having these cartoon characters like... But, you know, that gravity... You kind of take to that. And then when it got into the Attitude Era, everybody started becoming a more real-life person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now it's almost like, man, they just don't have no character. And it's almost, I mean, when I go to WWE Network, I don't go to watch 205 or anything. I go back to in the 90s or 80s and watch these documentaries or the old things.
Yeah.
So I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah.
But AEW right now, man, I watched the Moxley and Omega match where they absolutely about killed one another, and I was like, they've got it now.
Yeah.
You know, like when Kevin Sullivan seen, who was it, Mick Foley go through the cage, and he said, that's it, we're done. That's how I felt. I was like, man, I'm going there.
That's the thing, like what we talk about with AEW, it's every man's wrestling organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you look like. You can come in there like, say, Darby Allin coming in there like buck 75, maybe.
Man, but he...
But he can put on a show with somebody that's...
250?
Yeah, no problem. And you believe
it. You believe it. You're buying it.
You're buying it.
Somebody that bothers me is like maybe like Marco Stunt doing the Canadian Destroyer the other night. That was just a little bit like
too much.
Yeah.
I like, I'll tell you who I dig a lot, man, and I like it. And he's got a character that's a little bit over, you know, over the top, not overboard. Is Luchasaurus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, and I read the other day that Bray Wyatt wanted him to be a Wyatt family member.
Yeah,
it was Bray.
Thankfully, he didn't, because I think this is going to work out for him more in the long run.
Yeah, they'd have killed him off.
Jungle Boy, Matt Dillon's son.
Yeah.
Man, he's good. And the other little guy they got with him, he takes some beating. Marco Stunt,
yeah.
He takes a beating, you know. But it's a good little click. It's different. And, it, you know, anybody, like you said, it's anybody's wrestling.
Yeah, it's just a, it's kind of different.
I watched Raw this week, you know, and I watched the whole show. And I was waiting towards the end because there's a six-man tag. It was Rollins and the AOP taking on Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens and the surprise guests. It ended up being Big Show. I mean, Big Show ain't been relevant.
No. You know, and I like, I mean, I respect what Big Show's did, but I've not been a fan of him since.
Bad book.
I think the best Big Show was when he first came to the WWF.
Yeah.
I think when he first came in and he threw Austin plumb across the cage and he hung up.
Yeah.
Man, they did him, they booked him right, but when he let himself go. And you know, I ain't going to take nothing away from him. The man could do a torpedo drop kick when he was the Giant off the top rope, so he was a heck of a worker.
Now they're going to run this, you know, him with those two all the way up to WrestleMania from what I've seen. And, you know, there's so much more talent on there that they could have, you know, used.
Oh, yeah.
Big Show's been there and he's done it. You know, he don't need...
He probably don't want to be there. Yeah, they probably called him.
But you're so far, like, that's the thing with WWE right now. They're so far just going ahead and booking WrestleMania.
7 months down the road.
Yeah. The Rumble ain't even happening.
No.
Yet. And the stuff I've been reading on the Rumble... You know, there's a few things out there if it happens.
Well, I mean, you got Brock being the first entrance as a champion.
But I've read a few things.
Has that ever happened before?
What's that now?
Brock's going to be in the Royal.
He's going to be number one, isn't he?
Yeah.
As a champ.
It's happened.
I don't think that. Has it happened?
Yeah.
I never even knew of the champions in the Royal.
Yeah, they let Roman a few years ago go in at one. And he had to win it to keep his belt. And he lost it at like 28.
Hogan's won the Royal.
He got knocked out.
Hogan
the title ain't online.
Let me ask you guys a question. Favorite Royal Rumble?
Oh, God.
If you, I mean,
the one Flair won.
Exactly. I'll go with that. That's mine.
We were me and Jason were just talking about the other day. One of the biggest pops at the Rumble.
Adam.
I think it was. But Heenan's announcing. Man, that was awesome with Flair winning that. So Bobby Heenan, his announcing on a Royal. You know how overdramatic Bobby was.
He comes out there what?
Yes! Yeah. I mean, he's going crazy.
One of my favorites when John Cena came back.
I was getting ready to say the exact same thing. Yeah, we were just talking about the other day. Like, it was a pop. Like, nobody saw that coming.
He was hurt.
He was supposed to be out a year.
AJ Styles.
Oh, that was a big one.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, yeah. He's a heck of a worker, man.
And it was kind of like... Even in today's time, like wherever.
Was that his debut at the Rumble?
Yeah, it was
a
Rumble.
And he got a massive pop.
Yeah,
it was kind of like nobody really knew
if
he was going to be there or not. That's hard these days.
If you're real big in wrestling like we are, we kind of knew he was going to be there.
Yeah.
And, people that weren't, like, I know you're big in, but, like, I'm always on WrestleZone.
Yeah, Google.
Every little thing.
Still, even, like, you know, they spoil so much these days.
Yeah, it's.
Even that way. Yeah. everybody had a hard time. You know?
Yeah, well, that's like when I went to WrestleMania. Had a good friend, man. He supplied the whole trip for me and my family. We went down, and it was, I mean, this is almost, man, the Lord blessed us, because Rick Rude, as anybody knows, that's my hero. I mean, when it comes to professional wrestling, that was who I carry myself out of the ring a little bit with facial features and just the way, well, I mean, I do that this day.
You got a Rick Rude look to you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. But I got to watch him be inducted into the Hall of Fame. His son come out, man, and it was just unbelievable. But to get back to your point about how they kept that secret, my son's a huge Jeff Hardy fan. And he started running a little bit of a temperature the next night at WrestleMania, man, and we're up high. And I go to the crowd at this place is unbelievable. So I go to the restroom real fast when Enzo and Cass is coming out. By the time I get back, man, I hear doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and I just know. And my wife's trying to text me, get here. I get there, man, my little boy's got tears going down his face. And then they win, because that was the one thing.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
They were at Ring of Honor the night before, I think.
That's
another thing. It's funny we bring that up. That was another thing me and Jason were just talking about out back, how, like we say out back, we all work here.
Yeah.
So we're out back, and we were just talking about that, like, pops, we were talking about the biggest pops,
man,
and secrets, and like the fact they wrestled the Young Bucks the night before, and everybody was like, well, they're not coming, they're not coming. New Day comes out, says there's a fourth team going to be in it. Everybody thinks it's going to be the New Day, and then all of a sudden, like you said, that music hits, and you're just like,
one point my buddy brought up too about WWE, and he just hates this. My friend Teddy messaged me this week, he's like, you guys got to talk about the Bobby Lashley and
Lana.
Rusev and Lana angle. It's just awful.
I think they're trying to go back to a little bit of that over-the-top attitude era thing, trying to get a little more of an older audience, but sometimes you got to put thought behind it. You can't just throw a wild storyline together and hope that some adults like
it. It doesn't make any sense these days, because with so much social media and stuff.
You know, they're still married.
Yeah, you know that Rusev and Lana are still married. You know?
She ain't rushing no more.
She's not rushing anymore. You can't stop it.
Yeah, I look at it though, like, you can't cut an edgy storyline right now at a PG rating.
No, it's just
you can't do it.
You know, I've read where Moxley had said that they wanted him to say some real crazy stuff about Roman Reigns' cancer and stuff. He's like, I ain't doing it.
Yeah, he did. And he did. He threw him under the bus.
And Jericho, shout out to Jericho, man.
Oh, man.
One of the GOATs.
He's GOAT.
I mean, he really, and the way his promos, because that's what I love about AEW. There is no scripts. They get to do their own promos, man. And Jericho.
That's how characters made.
That's the thing. Like, if I was got some traction and must have gotten the big leagues or something, I could, if they hadn't let me be myself and I'd had to come out there and be a carpenter or a drywaller, I couldn't have done it. You know, I have to be who I want to be. I could do my best to get it over, but the people ain't going to buy it.
No, they can see through it. I mean,
see, Zane said that in his podcast with Jericho. He was like, I've done my best to get whatever they wanted me to do over, but he's like, God, I hated it.
Man, Moxley, I loved him. As Dean Ambrose with the Shield, because he was able to like put his own spin on it. You could tell if you watched any of his old stuff, he was a lot like Pillman or Terry Funk or Roddy Piper. Yeah. He had that feel.
That's what.
And really then they started making him look like a clown.
Yeah,
that was what killed him, man. Yeah. And he knew it. If you listen to it, he knew it.
Said the next morning
he
needed to do some
kind
of...
Yeah, he come out with them.
They all smell like poop or something.
Yeah.
Gas mask. Yeah, he had to wear a gas mask.
When he come out like the Bane character.
Yeah,
awful.
He had he came out. I knew he was getting over big at the time. Like, he was starting to get over. And then he comes out with that ketchup and that mustard and squirts it. And I was like, man, he knows they're making him out to be a clown, because when he was in Dragon Gate or whatever it was.
AC3 beat him.
Yeah. But that's how they operate.
It was on his way out.
They have to bury you on your way out for some reason. I don't understand that either.
But NXT is one good bright spot I see in WWE, though.
I watched a little bit of one of the last war games they had, and the Viking Raiders, I think, was in that. I'm trying to think of a few. My son keeps up with WWE big time right now. He could tell you. Him and my nephew are big WWE NXT. They've got every figure known to man, but we laid down one night and started watching one of the NXT war games, and it didn't have the same feel. It wasn't as brutal. There's none. But now Ricochet had done some cool stuff off the top.
Now he's awesome.
Yeah, that's their guys. You know? Yep, Paducah. I think it's Paducah.
Yeah.
He'll be down. They got Ricochet shirts. That's what they're wearing tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Like, you used to talk about growing up watching Crockett in the 80s and stuff. Imagine if there was no blood in Crockett.
it wouldn't have been as passionate.
Totally, you know, there would have been, the cage matches would have meant nothing if there's no blood.
Somebody said this once before, like, a hardcore match can only go so far with no blood.
Hey, it can't. I mean, the Moxley and the Moxley and Omega match had minimal blood. Really.
Yeah.
If it would have, I mean, it had,
it could have had more.
It had potential to be a bloodbath.
I think a lot of people said that on, you know, on the review.
They kept it as clean as they could possibly keep it. But when I was when I was in grade school, like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, I had, there was this old video store that it went out of business. I went and got three cassettes or three VHS. It was Starrcade 86, Great American Bash 87, and the Rumble that Flair won. Yeah. Okay, those three VHS were so worn out for years because that was my study guide.
Okay.
I mean, I started from the start to the end and watched them all, man, constantly. Go out on the trampoline. All right, I'm Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man back. All right, next day, go back, watch it. I'm Sid Vicious getting thrown out of the trampoline.
Pulls him out.
Yeah, so I was, all these things I did, man, stuck with me. And you, before you get in the business, you're like, would I do this? Would I do that? I'll be out in the ring and we're working and I'll do something that comes to my mind just like that. So it's all that stuff that you grow up watching is really, you use it.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've watched Starrcade 86.
Starrcade 86 is my number one.
I'm not exaggerating. Maybe 50 to 100.
That intro music, that ending music, man. Yeah. God. Frank Stallone's Far From Over.
Amazing.
We got two Obies here.
I'm kind of in the middle, and I'm just a year up or younger than this guy. So, I mean, this is kind
of like, I mean,
I'm
10 years behind, so I was watching the 86 Starrcade, 96, 97.
But I'm with you. I mean,
I was watching it a month ago.
But like you're talking about going to a video store, like kids these days don't know what it's like to go to, at the time, was a Blockbuster or anything you go in. There's not a VHS behind that box you want to watch.
No. Man, that was the good thing. Kids will never get to experience either.
Yeah. I mean, I posted that on our page not too long ago. Kids would never know what it was like, you know, just seeing all those rumbles and stuff.
I thought it was cool. I've seen Fox Central. I guess some of the cafeteria ladies.
Oh, man.
That
broke me down. Oh, I'm not even going to lie, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm 6'2", 270, and I was at the gym lifting weights and had to go to the bathroom after.
I was hoping WWE would catch me.
Well, that's what I said. I said somebody needs to tag them, man. Yeah. Let them know what's going on, because I'm sure that somebody would, help that kid out.
They're big for that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, they would make it.
That was a solid move.
Because of weather, they're in Corbin tonight, aren't they? Trying to get Baron Corbin
named
over to Corbin, Kentucky to Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
I'd rather name my county after Virgil, I believe.
But yeah, the NXT, like I said, you know, I enjoy it. I can't remember the guy's name, this bigger dude. He's just real over right now.
Walter?
Keith Lee.
Oh, Keith Lee. I thought he was talking about Walter in NXT
he's
UK.
So good.
Yeah. I'd like to see Keith just come to the main roster.
Super athlete.
He needs to. Why? Man, he's that dominant.
Well,
right now.
Now they're in the imaginary war with AEW. I guess you want to keep him at NXT.
Well, the ratings this week were like, pretty sure AEW was like almost 300,000 more views.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
They're flip-flopping, aren't they, too?
These last couple weeks, NXT's beat them by at least a couple hundred thousand each episode.
Oh, really?
Or, I mean, not NXT, but AEW's beat them by a couple hundred thousand.
They're doing Bash at the Beach.
People watch wrestling.
Card, like, if I could bring it up, let's see if I can find out. I know I've got this going right now. Y'all can keep talking. I'll try to find it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like how Cody's filed for these trademarks of the WCW stuff.
Getting that stuff back.
Yeah, that's smart, man. And the Dusty Rhodes name, I think.
I know. And then the NXT or WWE goes and uses his name for that tag tournament.
Yeah.
Slap in the face.
It is, man. But you know what? You got to give props to Cody Rhodes for, you know, going after it.
Man,
you know?
Yeah.
He really has went after it. He's got a vision.
He's got that Dusty in him.
Yes, that's it.
He's got that Dusty in him.
And Dustin Rhodes, man?
Yes, I was about to say that.
Oh, gosh.
He is just turning
around.
That's
a Canadian Destroyer.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. He done it again this Wednesday, and it was like, I mean, he's legit with it.
And he's having a good time at this point in his life. When most guys are out of it and they're on their way out, he's rejuvenated.
He had those sluggish years where I think he was an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. He took
pills and stuff. So
I think DDP helped him also.
Everybody has bad
years.
Amen.
And now he's just on fire again.
that gives a man hope if he's had it rough or he's been
down.
He's
probably wrestled the best he's ever wrestled, to be honest.
Yeah, he looks as good as he's ever looked.
So, Adam, when are you defending that belt right there?
This coming Saturday night at the Paintsville Rec Center, Johnny Swade decides he's going to make his way back here again. And I can't figure it out with Johnny Swade because I took a mallet to his head and beat him down and took a meat tenderizer, sent him off to be processed and distributed out throughout the state. Man, I figured everybody had already chomped up on him, but apparently he's still running his mouth down towards Somerset. So, Johnny Swade, if you can see me right now and you're not out painting your face with the pink and this and that, Saturday night, I guess I'm going to have to just dance all over that ugly head of yours again, ain't I?
He's got the heart to come back for more, Sam.
That's called stupidity, not heart.
He still wants that title.
Heart would be when you got close and then I just, boom, done your way. Stupidity is when I just drop you down, smack you, make you look dumb, throw you out, take you to the slaughterhouse, have you sliced, diced, sent off. That's stupidity, right. Not hard. But what was you saying?
Show you how prestigious that title is. I mean, you beat him to death, and he still wants that belt.
He's
coming back. You know?
I'll be ready. Johnny Swade, I'll say, yeah, guts. We'll give it to him for guts, not heart, because I done ripped out his heart, served it, sent it off, and it tasted decent, not good. Could have probably marinated a little better, but, you know, that's the way it works. Johnny Swade, no joke, though. Guy comes out. He's tough as nails. And I'll give him that. But when he comes into my ring thinking he's going to beat me for my BCW heavyweight title, well, he's got another thing coming, to quote Judas Priest.
That's a beautiful belt you got. Ain't
thanks, right, man. That's been held by some illustrious champions of the past, and I just want to do it justice for those guys, that's man. Awesome. When it's all said and done, I'm hoping one day to have my name in the BCW Hall of Legends along with Colby Carmichael.
Cool.
Because you know, I look up to those guys and want to do them justice, and I just want my name to be remembered with them. So that's what keeps me going.
That's great. You tagged, would you say Michael Jamerson?
Michael Jamerson and me. He broke me into this business, actually. I was trained by Bart Batten a little bit at first from the Batten twins, Brad and Bart. And then Ken hooked me up. Ken and Mike were close, you know. And Ken must have seen a little bit in me or something and knew that he wanted to get me with Mikey because Mikey's the man. I mean, he's the best worker, best heel. I mean, gosh, you meet him out in public, and if you don't know him, you think he's the biggest jerk ever. But if you do know him, he's one of the best human beings on the planet. So that's a good heel. And he, you know, he trained me. Him and Colby Carmichael took me under. They trained me. We went to MMA. I was lucky enough to have some friends that still ran an MMA facility. So we trained in and out of there, put the ring up in my front yard a few times and around. So anytime I got to get in the ring and bump. But, yeah, Michael Jamerson, dude, if you can research his matches, check him and Colby Carmichael.
I'm getting old. I might be wrong on this. If I am, I'm sorry. But didn't the fans vote and you wrestled Michael Jamerson?
Yes, that was the first time. That was probably one of my best matches ever. I would put that in my top five.
Yeah,
funny story about this, that match. Was you there for that match?
No.
You wasn't?
No.
Okay.
Well, I watched it on YouTube. Like I said, a lot of matches there. People need to check out.
Oh, yes. I appreciate you putting that over. But the funny thing with that was I had took my wife to take – she was getting ready to become a teacher, and I was taking her back and forth to Lexington or Norton or not Norton, but Bristol. And I told Mikey, I was like, dude, I'm going to have cancer. I ain't going to be able to make it. And they were doing the voting process. Well, he calls me and he's like, man, you got to get here. He said, are you close? I'm like, son, I'm 45 minutes out. So they read it and I'm apparently won by a landslide. He calls me and says, you Bill Clinton of 96 or something. He said, I said, well, I'll tell you what, man, I'll be here. Yeah. So I drop my wife off, man, and turn the emergency flashers on and haul hind in, and we get there. And as soon as I get there, just put my stuff on. And we packed Paintsville, listen. There was times when they would have to come to the back and get our chairs from the workers, and that's a good problem to have.
Oh, yeah.
So I was able to go out. I had never wrestled a match this long before. We probably went 35 minutes. And this whole time, he's teaching me, man. He's chopping me. He's in my ear, and I'm just soaking it in, taking the beating. And at the end, we're like, he's like, moonsault. I was like, what? He said, go for it. So I go. I'm like, all right. So I go up top, my legs are shaking, dude, and I get to the top, and I just go for it. And Ken got this picture of it, dude. It's one of the baddest pictures ever. And I'm like David Lee Roth on the back of the Van Halen album, so I'm just bent backwards. And I'm in midair, and he moves, and I just crash and burn, dude. And I got up, eat a super kick, went to the back, and I just about bawled because that was – the crowd loved it. I mean, you can feel it at that moment when they're into something like that. And that was it, man. From then on, I was like, I can do this now. At this, in the main event, I can come up here and do this now.
That's awesome, man.
Good match.
First year moonsault.
Oh, yeah, spot. Dude. If you would have seen my knees as I went up, he's like, moonsault. And I was so glad. But now, I wrestled Smooth Operator, Jim Reaper. I wrestled Jim Reaper, not Grim Reaper. Jim Reaper. So I go for a moonsault, and instead of balling my hands is the correct way to do it, I kept them out like this, and I'm still, this was like 4 years ago. When I land, this pinky turns sideways, dislocates, and I go into having almost a panic attack. So I said, thank God I hit it, and you know, 1, 2, 3, and I just roll out of the ring like this, and people think I'm having a heart attack because I'm holding my pinky to my chest, and I get up there and just yank it, trying to yank it back in. But that was a misfortunate
incident. I'm going to bring up another company here, NWA. They're doing the Power Hour now.
YouTube.
Have you seen any of that?
A little bit, and I'm really impressed with it.
Man, it's awesome.
Great. Yeah,
man,
I love studio wrestling.
I do, it's too. So I do, too. It's a throwback.
Well, see, I never was, like, I have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't start watching wrestling until, probably about 95, 96.
Yeah.
You know, when I was about 5 or 6 years old.
Well, I was.
And then this kind of started coming on. I watched the first episode, and I remember telling him, I was like, you know, pretty fun.
Mm-hmm, it is.
So I keep watching. I just love it more every time I see it.
I was hoping, you know, I kind of like the YouTube thing because later, you know, more people will find out about it, and then who knows who may attach on to it. But the studio wrestling is such a throwback, man. Like, I can remember being a kid watching the NWA Power Hour or, you know, how that went. And then right after it, Freddy's Nightmares would come on right after it. So I got my ultimate fix at that point.
Yeah. You know, really, they got some good wrestlers there right now. I'm pretty sure, like, you mentioned this last night, I'm pretty sure they're working something out with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Because now Marty's been on NWA, Marty's girl.
Yeah.
And
Alvin showed up last night on Ring of Honor. So
I'm pretty sure they're getting a little.
It's a good time it's a good time for the business right now. It really is. A lot of people.
Yeah, we talked about that when we started this podcast. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what got me noticed with you guys. I was like, if these guys are starting a podcast, a really good one that you guys did, it's awesome. I've shared it, and you guys do other podcasts that's really good, too. So I was like,
Scouting Report.
But I watched it, and I was like, what it makes me think of is when I was probably in eighth grade, WPRG did a Wrestle Talk Wednesday on Channel 5. And it was like an hour-long sit-down, and sometimes they'd have local wrestlers on, or sometimes they may get Buddy Landale, got lucky and get him on, and you could do a call-in show. And that's kind of what this made me think of. And I was like, man, it must be business must be picking back up if you've got guys wanting to get in here on a Sunday night and talk the biz.
Yep.
I mean, there's
so much out there.
There's so much going on. You've got New Japan, AEW, WWE, you know, I can't – NXT separate because in my mind, they are separate.
Yeah.
You got NXT UK.
They got some potential.
You got Triple A, you got ROH, you've got, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Even MLW.
It's just,
MLW, they look like they were going to be good.
Yeah.
And I think they've got something worked out kind of with AEW because I seen the other day that MJF's still wrestling for MLW. Mm-hmm. That's where he made his name, and he's still Brian Pillman Jr.
Heart Dynasty.
They did a killer angle with Sullivan, too.
Did you see that?
Is that where he beat him up in the back?
In the back, yeah. That was a good little segment, man.
Somebody just left there, didn't they? Somebody from the Hart Foundation?
Teddy Hart.
Teddy got fired.
What's the deal with Teddy Hart? I hate to interrupt y'all, but I know you all are a whole lot more knowledgeable than me.
He's had some problems.
Chemical problems and stuff. Okay.
But he was on AEW Dark the other night. He didn't wrestle, but he was on AEW Dark the other night. He was ringside, and everybody was coming by talking to him. And I don't know if they're going to try to help him
get his life back together.
Yeah, get him back into it or not, because I mean, the dude's talented.
That's what I was going to say.
He was the youngest guy to WWE.
Yeah, he's just.
Yeah.
Still has it. What is he, 38 now? From what they say, 39?
What they say, he's got a lot of problems, a lot of people hanging on to him, wanting to.
Yeah, fame and trying to.
Parasites.
Right. So, I knew Davey Boy.
Dragging him down.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. you know, they were together, tag team. They were making a real big name for themselves. They were in New Japan, a bunch of places.
Hillman was with them, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, then he kind of, they kind of had to break away
like
from
him. Talking about, he reminds me of his dad. Well, the way he looks, the way he acts.
He's going to take
he's
off.
Here's he got PWI Rookie of the Year, I think, just now. But I've got to talk to Hillman Jr. right before he broke into the business because him and his sister I had on Facebook, and I kind of reached out to him a little bit and been like, you know, your dad, man, was one of my biggest influences. Thank y'all. Because they post pictures, like rare family photos and all. So it broke off a little bit between me and Brian Pillman Jr., and I was able to message and say, you know, what's up, man? And we got back and forth, and he's like, dude, you know, he showed me his scales. He'd been losing weight. He said, I'm getting ready to head up to Lance Storm's Academy for a couple months. He said, I'm going to take off with it. Well, I said, good luck, man. I said, you got it. I mean, you got the look. Be, you know, you're your own person. You got shades of your father, but, you know, and lo and behold, man, he's making a name for himself.
I'm pretty sure he was back. He was backstage the other night. Jericho won the belt when he was walking back. He went and looked. Jericho actually looked at him and said, "What are you looking at?"
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's just been there.
Yeah.
He's been on a few episodes of the Elite too.
Been on the Elite with the Bucks and Cody and those guys.
Another
you know?
Cool thing is Billy Gunn and his son.
Yeah. You see that little kid with act like Orange Cassidy
in
there.
There's a lot of people out there who don't like Orange Cassidy
I don't have a problem with Orange Cassidy. I mean, I've seen worse things. I think it's hilarious. The first time I seen it, it was kind of like it was funny, just nonchalantly kicking him. But, you know, I haven't seen enough of him to get annoyed yet, I guess.
I like it.
Well, killed me the other night. I love this. He was doing a little skit with the Luchasaurus, and then he got on top rope, and he was like, he's going to do a flip, and he just flops down.
He falls asleep.
I'll tell you what, the Lucha Brothers.
They're
good.
That's you know, what we got to see when we went. We went to Charleston. Three did.
They deserve a. I mean,
I used to watch.
They were voted Tag Team of the Year.
Oh, they deserve it, man. I watched them and Tessa, and might have been – I can't remember the guy that was with her, man, but she bumped for them guys. One of them kicked her right in the head. Did y'all ever see that?
That's his.
Oh, mine too, man. I heard some bad stuff on her today.
We've seen it.
I hope it ain't true.
Wow. If I believe that was true, why wouldn't he brought up when it happened?
Tonight.
Really?
World heavyweight champ.
That was supposed to have happened 3 years ago.
Sam Callahan tonight. That's everything I've read that she was going to. I don't know.
She looks like her dad too, man, right there in the face. And she's a gorgeous girl. So I followed her since she first got into the business, and I was always want her and Charlotte Flair to kind of do something together. I always thought that would have been
money. That'd be a mania match.
Yeah. Well, technically, if you'd have brought her in, you could have really done a four horse women.
A legitimate
one. Horse women. Legitimate one. I know they did do it.
Well, some people are saying that she's going to go to WWE now because a lot of the AEW girls are talking some bad crap on her.
Yeah, I was hoping that she would end up in AEW where her dad. What's the deal with Arn? Does anybody know what's going on with Arn Anderson right now? He's
going to be Cody's coach.
I think they're working towards
bringing a four horseman type.
Bringing Shawn Spears with Cody.
And Tully.
Or bringing in maybe another tag team.
Jim Ross has mentioned Four Horsemen a couple of times.
Working towards it.
Because, you know, Cody's taking on MJF right now. Mm-hmm. He's got Warlow, you know, with him. So I'm thinking Shawn Spears is going
to
come to the picture sometime.
This is like
just my dream booking. I'd love to see the Revival get to come over.
That would be cool. They're a throwback to the Horsemen. They got that feel to them.
Yeah, they got the feel to them.
Which they did tweet. I think I saw it either yesterday or the day before. Well, they said they were stepping away for a while to try to refigure things. I don't know if they're trying to work on a buyout. They've been trying to work on a buyout from WWE for a while. They wanted to leave.
Luke Harper's going to be over there.
He was my favorite New Era guy.
He's awesome.
I mean, they wasted so much with that guy. He could have been a monster heel.
He's just a Gator-O.
The Gator-O was classic.
Last night he wrestled Sammy Gravea. The independent show last night. I don't know what it was. They wrestled.
So does he not have a 30-day clause?
No, he's still going by. Actually, in that, I seen they posted a picture together. You know, Gravea, wherever they wrestled at was like a minor league hockey arena.
I've seen that.
It had Harper on the back. Yeah. But they wrestled last night, so I don't know if he's going to be able to keep that name or he's going to switch back over to Brody Lee.
I'd say he's going to switch back to Brody Lee.
Yeah, but I guess maybe right now.
I would switch. Why would you want to keep yourself
right? Yeah. I mean, he was known as Brody Lee before that anyways. I mean, hardcore fans.
I follow all that stuff. Like if I scroll through Facebook, I see more wrestling before normal.
The Lucha Brothers?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Lucha Underground?
Yeah, that was the Vampiro.
Vampiro was on it. That's the first time I ever got to see Pentagon.
Yeah, I think
I fell in love with him from
that. Man, that tag team, though, they were.
Ricochet was on there.
Yes, Prince Puma.
Yes.
Morrison was on there. Morrison. Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, Johnny Mundo.
But that was more like a movie production.
It was different.
It's on Netflix. You can watch it. Well, it was. I don't know if they took it off now, but it's like
cool.
A series.
Well, they filmed it. They do, like, so many episodes, and then they would pretty much film it in like a month.
I dug that, though, man. It was different.
Like, they played it off like an actual TV show. Yeah. Like, they'd go to the back, and they'd be in the office being like, hey, you got to get rid of this guy. Yeah. And they'd, like, hire people you didn't even think were together to go try and take out somebody.
Was it the girl wrestler on there? She was pretty ugly.
Yeah, she was...
sexy lady or something. I don't know.
She was tough. She was tough, man. I can't remember who it was, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, there was some... That's where I got pretty much introduced to Pentagon. He's probably one of my favorite wrestlers.
Oh, they're bad cats, man.
I tell you, I seen where that La Parca passed away.
Yeah.
It was not the original.
Right. It wasn't the WCW version.
No, I didn't know that at first until
I didn't either.
I read
it. You got into it.
Okay, it's not the original.
Have you guys ever watched any Art Barr matches? He was, okay, check this guy out, man. He's the reason Eddie Guerrero does the frog splash. He was so over, man. He started out in Portland. He died, yep. But Eddie Guerrero, like, gives him full props for about everything he's ever done.
Art Barr.
He was Jesse Barr's son. Brother. Thanks to that dude. But he was, he started up in Portland, and Roddy Piper, you know, around that area. But they went down to Mexico. I think he was the American Love Machine or something. And they could get heat, dude, down in Mexico, him and Eddie Guerrero. And that's some stuff to check out if y'all hadn't ever seen it. Art Barr. He was the juicer. In WCW, like a Beetlejuice gimmick.
Yeah, I remember
the juicer.
The juicer, yeah.
I'm checking
but he was a heck of a worker, man.
Passed away in the 90s.
Yeah, laying next to his kid, I think, they said.
All right, we're going to do a little fun segment here. I brought this up during the week. I think you commented on it.
Yeah.
You know, your favorite finisher of all time. I want to do something a little different. I want us to talk about what finishers shouldn't be, repeated, duplicated. One that we talked about, me and you, was the Stone Cold Stunner. Kevin Owens has been using it. We kind of think that he shouldn't.
That's a really good question, dude.
I know.
Everybody in their
fifth, but everything's been repeated so much. It's kind of a hard thing to.
Everybody in their third cousin does the super kick now.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another thing. I kind of feel like
it kills
the effect of it.
It kills Shawn Michaels.
It looks like a finisher.
Man, I'll tell you what.
DDT don't get used.
It don't get used anymore. Hardly. Raven was one of the last ones, man.
Moxley's a version of it now.
Yeah.
Paradigm shift now is kind of like.
But just a straight up
DDT,
I mean, it don't get
Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode uses the DDT, the glorious DDT.
Yeah.
He uses it. That's about
it's
it.
A variation.
He picks him up a little bit, but like, it's not like double underhook, paradigm shift.
I also
thought the
pedigree was one.
Seth Rollins was
using it.
He used it for a minute.
Yeah. That was kind of a storyline deal.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though. Let's see here, man. Hogan's leg drop.
That should have never been one
of them. I mean, I guess technically, would you consider the Young Bucks using the Tombstone? Because that is part of their finishing. I mean, they do flip into
Tombstone. Well, the other people use the Tombstone, though, before Undertaker did.
Yeah, I mean, like, Kane, it made sense for Kane to use it being brother.
Right, that was another storyline.
Yeah, that was a
Kane, man. So, did you guys post who had the best debut ever? Was it you?
I posted that.
That was a tough
day.
One because I flip flopped from Y2J to Kane because those two were.
Yeah, I picked the AJ and Y2J.
That was a good one, too.
But Kane did have one.
When he ripped that door off.
That's what I was talking about with
Ric Flair showing up with the world title.
On prime time with Bobby Heenan. Yeah. That was a great one.
Yeah, and the way Bobby hyped it as a real world champ.
The two I picked in that one was like, it was hard for me, Y2J and Cena, because I think they kind of helped kickstart those two revolutions. You had Jericho coming over during the Monday Night Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then you had Cena kicking off the Ruthless Aggression era, which I know that you like awful well.
Oh, yeah.
You come out smacking Kurt Angle in the face that night.
Yeah.
The only reason I think Cena's wasn't that too hot because it was like first match Kurt Angle, nobody knew who he was. When Kane came in, everybody was talking about him.
But first they didn't know who he was, but after that, they knew who
they
he
knew
was.
Who he was.
They
still know who he is.
Yeah. Now, John Cena, you know, he had the debut match against Kurt Angle, and then he had the nice little encounter.
What did you guys think about late WCW right before it got bought out?
Well, I was younger, so I still loved it.
Mm-hmm. Before everybody left, or right when everybody was leaving, when you had NWO 2000.
Yeah, when Vince Russo came in and kind of just, because they took all the belts off the champions and kind of, I mean, they didn't, they just tried to reinvent.
Kind of wipe it clean.
Yeah.
At that point, it was just, God, there was no.
As a kid, as a eighth grader, I was like, man, this is awful. But I go back and watch some of these matches now, and you'd be surprised how many good matches was in the era.
You still had, at the time, you still had Jarrett Booker. That was the rival.
That
before the heavyweight was Jericho and Booker.
Yeah.
And it actually, I think, catapulted Booker when he did train. When you think about it.
They had Oklahoma during that time, too.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah.
You know,
Jim Cornette still still got it out for Russo, or not Russo, but Ferrara over that deal.
Yeah, and they you know, the announcers said stuff back then that I didn't agree with.
Well, the locker room was just such shit. You hear the guys talk about it.
Politics, so bad.
Yeah, and like, you know,
everybody kind of made their own
you
schedule.
Would hear them say stuff
like back their own thing.
Whatever they wanted to do, they done.
Kevin Nash and Scott Hall pretty much ran the
line. Oh, yeah. WCW, if you was a worker, man, that was where you wanted to be. Big money, light schedule. Yeah. I mean, you can't blame them.
No.
No.
You know?
That was one thing that, well, we were talking, I've talked about it. That's one thing that scares me about AEW. I know they've got all the wrestlers that have all that control.
And they got the hype right now.
They've got the hype and they've got the control. Just hopefully it doesn't turn into they got too much going on. Which I know they say the Collins make the final decision, but
that's true.
Why didn't Ted Turner make the final decision? He's a billionaire.
You know what,
dude. He could have bought it back. He could have kept it if he'd wanted.
Yeah,
I think Tony Khan is really smart.
Yeah,
he seems to be pretty good so far. And Cody Rhodes, he's just.
I think he listens to a lot of what Cody says and tells him. So he'll be. I think it'll be good shape.
Does Ted learn his lesson from that now that he brought it back this many years later to let him come back at TNT? Ted Turner not letting his show get.
Yeah.
Which it's a billionaire and a billionaire going together.
They were ashamed to have wrestling on there.
They probably have more. They have different board of directors now. Yeah. Obviously, it's been 20 years.
I hope so.
We would assume that, you know.
If not, they old now.
They're older than Mills if they still got them.
But.
I'd love to say you want competition in the business, man. You want AEW to get. Oh, yeah.
I like it all right now, though. That's the thing. Mm-hmm.
You don't have side with one. You can watch it all. That's what
I do. We try to watch it all.
Yeah, that's what we tell everybody.
It's hard to watch WWE just because of the product.
I couldn't tell you. I'll probably watch it tomorrow night because my kid will be here and I'll be looking for him. But I catch the highlights and I'll Google the next day and read
the highlights.
Highlights.
But now when Sting was supposed to come, every day I Googled latest on Sting. Every day.
There's something cool going on.
Yeah.
Of course you want
The first time I watched SmackDown Live, since they moved, I think I heard them when they moved to Friday, personally.
Oh, it kills
them. It's a Friday night. I mean.
Too many people doing things on Friday nights.
I tuned in not this past Friday, but the Friday before, and it was actually the first time I'd actually got home early enough to get on there and get to see, as soon as I turned it on, that's when Morrison opened the door. Seeing Morrison back, you know, it was good. Sheamus came back that night. Usos came back that night. Just hopefully they don't kill it. I do like the dirt sheet thing they're kind of going to go back to with Morrison being a heel with Miz.
That's good stuff right there.
Mm-hmm. I can tune in and watch that, but, the pouring the dog food and stuff on Roman, that's not me.
They need to just get rid of the big dog gimmick.
I wish they let him turn heel. We talked about that.
I think, man, the difference in WWE right now is that back before when it was so good, was everybody was over. You know what I mean? Even mid-card guys were so over.
It's hard to get people over now.
It is. I mean, they got to have some sort of creative control. I mean, not creative control in the big leagues, but they've got to be able to be themselves to an extent. But now you take Val Venis, Steve Blackman. I mean, those guys were mid-carders, but they were over.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not getting any of your mid-carders over in WWE right now either.
And that don't give you nobody to root for.
Aleister Black.
Aleister Black.
Man, he is just...
You take Luke Harper, we was talking about. That guy there, I was like, man, he's got potential. You know, if they bring him along right, he'll be a heck of a champion heel if they do it right. And they drop the ball.
They gave him the Intercontinental belt, and it was a good pop.
Yeah.
I liked it when he was in. And then all of a sudden, it's gone real quick.
Yeah.
Go the next. Put him back with Rowan. Yeah. I mean, they stuck them guys together too many times.
Bludgeon Brothers
after that, yeah. I mean.
I'll watch
that.
You know, they're setting up for what we talked about, Roman to win the Royal Rumble and go to the WrestleMania probably to face the Fiend, which is just awful.
I wouldn't kill that character that quick because you know they're going to let Roman win.
And I mean, how many times did you get put Roman in the main or in the headline of WrestleMania?
Well, I'll tell you what, they bored me so much with him that I've just said I'll watch something else.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate it because I love, you know, wrestling. Period.
But you know what I was thinking would be cool.
It goes back to what we was talking about, not being able to, you know, be yourself.
Right.
They pick who they want to push, and they give them what to say, and they push.
I'd like to see Bray come out. Bray win the Royal Rumble. So he comes out as himself, wins the Royal Rumble, faces Brock for the title. And with the help of the Fiend, somehow they can make this work. He beats Brock, and then, so now you got Bray as the champion on Raw, and you got the Fiend as the champion on SmackDown.
Not a bad idea, dude. Not a bad idea at all.
I think they could work some with that. They
yeah.
Want. I mean, that's just.
Well, it's too obvious. It would make sense. It would be good. They
had, Lana and Lashley wedding. I've heard worse stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They brought Liz Morgan back. Didn't even
mention that. Can't hire her up for a long time to do that. I'm just like.
No, nah, man, AEW right now, like I said, that's where I was.
How about DDP laying those cards?
Oh, he's working this weekend.
Yeah, he's wrestling. That was one of the matches, actually. I looked up a couple of them. It's DDP that JT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes are going up against. Yeah.
Warlord,
MJF, and.
MJF. Blade and the Butcher.
Yeah, Butcher and the Blade. That's what I look. Warlord's not wrestling.
Yeah,
he's
wrestling.
You know, then you got Darby Allin's facing Pac.
Yeah.
I think, or Pac, whatever you want to say. Yeah. And then you've got Moxley's facing Sammy Gervais.
Yeah.
They
just have good matches.
Yeah,
they got good storylines going on.
That's the key, man.
They keep you wanting to come back next
week. Yeah, the key to the storylines is what's missing.
You
so
know, even
much.
Like Moxley, him and Jericho's little.
The car deal.
God, that was just good.
I mean, that's. That's good.
Like, yeah, I'll join that at the end. He was I'm just kidding.
That promo, though, had you
you're
in.
Stupid.
At one point, you thought Moxley was really going to do it. Actually, and then you pointed out, I think, wasn't it, Jason, when he went over and winked at the camera when he finally said, I'm kidding. I'm not doing it. I mean, hey, who you
he was the
that.
Perfect. Moxley's the perfect anti-hero, man. He's got that Stone Cold feel
He's
to him.
He's definitely got Stone Cold feel.
And they could, they had a chance. If Vince McMahon or Triple H or whichever one would have let him went with that as a babyface, that could have worked. But he's also a good heel if let be. If you go back and watch his early stuff when he was younger and had the long hair, you know, not too long. I mean, his promos were vicious, man. He'd take a fork and stick to it. I mean, he was a wild man.
It's hard to be a good heel these days.
It's almost impossible the way the business has changed, too.
Because if you're over, you're over. MJF's over, but he's a true heel, but everybody, they're cheering for him when he comes out. I mean, it's just, he's that good.
That part died in the mid-90s, early
90s. Like me, you say, if you're getting booed now, you're getting booed because
you just don't like
you.
I want you to go away.
Please don't be on TV anymore.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest, I can't really concentrate looking at that BCW heavyweight title. That's a nice looking
belt. Come over here, my man. Or I'll tell you what, I'll pass her on down to you.
Yeah, look at her.
Take a gander.
That's heavier than your belt.
That is a phenomenal looking belt.
Sure,
it's
probably a little bit more money than my belt's supposed to.
I've been hit in the head with that. I've held it over my head. Man, that belt's been places that most will never see together. That's why I'm sticking with it. Never leaving my side or my waist or my shoulder.
I don't blame you. Beautiful.
It's a sweet belt.
Yes, sir.
I like the old school feel too.
Yeah, it's definitely a wrestler's belt.
Yes, that is a wrestler's belt.
BCW heavyweight title is a nice belt.
And what I'd like to invite you guys down to a BCW show. I'd like to have you all set up at a table and call with her.
We wanted to come Saturday, but I don't know.
Thank you, my man.
Be able to pull that off. With
well,
that's our hopes and dreams. We talked about it long before we got it all going. Was like we could possibly do that because we seen our buddies.
We were talking about doing like something like around the 4th of July, like some kind of big event.
Well, I'll tell you what would be killer, and this is just early planning. And we usually do a show at Johnny M. Stumbo Baseball Field. We try to do a couple in the summertime, and it's got that old Great American Bash feel with the lights at nighttime and stuff. We do some
awesome.
Of those, and we draw pretty good crowds there. And it would be cool if y'all could come up maybe there, too, and set up and do something.
Yeah,
it'd be an honor to be part of a BCW show.
Oh, man, it'd be an honor to have you guys.
Such a great show.
We talked about it.
Our goal was to come to a show.
Yeah, come to a show. That
I'm
going to
hold you jokers to it.
No, we talked like.
We're also like, I'll go ahead and bring this up and mention it. We're going to do a watch along with the Rumble.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man.
Yeah, that's
I will tune
a couple
in.
Weeks.
Yeah,
we're gonna try to watch. Yeah, do the watch along stream, mm-hmm. and as long as Dougie lets me buy some snacks. So,
man, this is pig in a poke. Man. Do you realize that?
We work here.
Yeah. Gosh, where's the food? Let me tell you something. Pig in a poke, deep fried banana peppers. You know what I say about that? Fly me to the moon and back. I could sit down and eat a whole mess of those.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to give you one of our stickers for now.
We made up some stickers and stuff. We're going to give you one for being on the show. We gave Ken them one earlier. It's just something we've got going on right now. Anybody we can get to be on as a guest, we're going to try to give them a little something.
Too,
shirts. Yeah, shirts is something
we're
looking for.
Oh, gosh. I'm holding you to that. I want a strong booking shirt.
We're looking for shirts in the future.
That's a good point to bring up because to get shirts, we need sponsorship.
Yeah.
Guys, so,
sponsor these guys right now. Big businesses, whatever. They're doing an excellent job. You know, they're putting.
We'll put signs up for the podcast. We'll mention you a few times. You know, we'll do whatever you want us to do for a sponsorship.
And I'm going to say that you've gained a lot of followers.
For a sponsorship
Say that again because I will find you a sponsor. Actually, I don't know. He'd be a tough one to put through there. I believe he'd rake your eyes and give you a...
He probably knows some old school moves.
Yeah. Old tactics. He's old school.
I always carry a foreign object.
There you go.
Never know what might happen.
But no, for real, guys, I appreciate you having me on, representing the Bluegrass Championship Wrestling organization.
Yeah. Everybody go check out their show Saturday. Yeah.
Everybody come out this Saturday.
$7.30 bell time. $7 for a ticket. Everybody go out because you can't beat that prize.
Johnny Suede, Adam Newsom main event. Johnny Suede, Adam Newsom too. So, I don't know. I guess I got to come up with some new ways to dispose of this dude. So, everybody come this Saturday night. We'll get pictures together. We'll get, we'll have a grand old time, as they used to say.
Can't wait.
Well, thanks everybody for joining in tonight. We've been on for about an hour now. I think Kevin probably wants to.
Yeah, we'll catch you. What is it next? We're going to do one next Sunday, 6:05 p.m.
6:05.
Old school, 6:05.
6:05. I guess 6:05.
That's perfect.
Set the old school feel.
But we like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. We still, once again, like to thank Adam Newsom.
Mikey says, what's up, Adam?
Mikey
Millette.
Tell him that what is up is that I've got to hang, do a killer podcast with the three amigos of pro wrestling, so. It's awesome, man.
Thank you. It's an honor having you on, Adam.
It's an honor being here, guys.
All righty. Well, we'll catch y'all next week.
Peace.
Boys, did y'all all right for you?
Man, that was awesome.
Thank you. Y'all all right for you?
Man, that was awesome.
Thank you.